Hey everybody, it's Dave Hall with Agoge Fitness Systems coming at you again with another episode of War Stories, Tales from the Front. Today I have with us Charles Abouzed. Charles is a owner of a CrossFit gym up in the New Jersey area called CrossFit House of Pain. I first met Charles back in June of 2012. At the Underground Strength Conference 2012 that Zach Evanesh was hosting. Charles really stood out from the crowd. He is, first and foremost, he's got one of the kindest faces you'll ever run across. The guy just radiates a sense of peace and tranquility about him that I have to say is really cool to see in another human being. But also, he was one of the biggest trainers there. He's a big round Buddha of a man, and I think that I'm not alone. That everybody was like, "Wow, check out that dude. Wonder what's up with him." And then as the conference went on, and especially when we got into some of the physical stuff, Matt Wyszynski had us doing handstands and all sorts of different athletic moves, going, "Oh my God, look at that guy move!" So while also being, you know, a large round, Buddha of a man is what comes to mind. The guy's just this huge Buddha. He's also one of the most physically capable people in the world. And I'm very, very pleased and happy to have him with us today. Charles, can you say hey to everybody?
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Thanks for having me, Dave.
My pleasure, man. My absolute pleasure. Let's start off. Let's tell everybody a little bit about your gym. You run a CrossFit gym up in New Jersey called House of Pain. What's your gym like?
Oh, well, so the gym that I run, it's a small 400-square-foot facility. I'm actually running it out of the garage of my house right now, which is pretty fun. We started officially got affiliated with CrossFit back in May of 2012. But, you know, before that, I was just running it for the previous year, just hanging out, messing around with friends in the gym, not really worrying about so much. It actually started off a funny way, because I was going to nursing school at the time, but my heart really wasn't set in nursing. So I was like, you know what, I've always done the CrossFit stuff. I was a CrossFit trainer in Hoboken, got certified in 2008. So I was like, you know what, I feel like I need to do something that I truly like in life. So, you know, after getting out of nursing school, I was like, you know what, I have this garage here. And it all started off with a 300-pound weight set from Sports Authority. And half the garage, because the other half was all sorts of cluttered. So, you know, I just started, you know, working out in my garage, you know, just clearing out space, had little play mats. And then one of my friends asked if they wanted to train me, so I was like, yeah, sure, let's go nuts, you know, let's get a little crazy. So what started off with just one person in half the garage, all of a sudden started more people talked about it, and we started getting more people in. And we're now, well, obviously now we have the whole garage cleared out. So I pretty much transformed my garage into an elite training facility. So we have all our stuff there. It's not that big a space, but you know how it is. It's a special little facility for me and my guys. So now we're at, you know, almost 20 people. Everybody's kicking ass, taking names, and having fun doing it.
Nice. Yeah, I think you know, when people start branching out and deciding that they want to open their own gym, that they often, you know, way overshoot the mark and what they need to do. They think that they've got to have this 2,500 square foot facility and all this equipment. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that you can do a lot with, I mean, shit, you started with 200 square feet. So
exactly.
You know, that's kudos to you, my friend. That's very cool.
Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot. One of the things that I did realize, though, when it comes to the training, it's never really about the space. In the end, it's just about two things. It's just the programming that you make, making sure it's effective, and even more, just as important as that, is the connections that you make with people. So if you have those two in the gym, it doesn't matter where you train. You could train in the park, in the garage. You could even I don't know where you want to train in your car, whatever the case may be. It's a fun th it's just more about the heart and soul of what you stand for in your training that will really make it great.
Yes, yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. That's gold right there, my friend. That's what, I can't harp on that enough. Down here, I mean, it might be a little different up in New Jersey, but I'm down in the South, and in the South, what we see in terms of businesses opening up is all, it's all about flash and glamour on the front side, and so they're all like, oh, well, you've got to have all this front end money to get all of this equipment, and you've got to have the best space and, glass storefront and lighting and all this stuff. And no, you don't, because
Exactly.
all that stuff has absolutely nothing to do with the training. So
Exactly.
it's
Everybody looks
very,
for all the fancy stuff. I hear you.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
That's
cool.
actually yeah, it's actually funny that you mentioned that because back with there's actually a funny story of how I had like a lady here one time came into my gym for a free session. And then she came in, she really liked the training, but she said, "Oh, I'm looking for like the bigger warehouse space of, CrossFit." 'Cause nowadays you take a look, CrossFit has come a long way. So they expect big facilities and all sorts of the high-end CrossFit equipment. So she couldn't wrap her head around the fact that we were in a garage gym. But the funny thing is, CrossFit started off in parking lots and in garages by Greg Glassman. So it's funny how that the dynamic has changed a lot since like 10 years ago, since the start of the warehouse gym movement. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, talk about your programming a little bit. Tell us, what's the general feel of CrossFit House of Pain, and how is it that you set yourself apart from other CrossFit boxes and other trainers?
Okay, well, when it comes to the program that I do for my gym, a lot of CrossFit gyms have a tendency to program very randomly, so there's not much. I could only assume that there's not much structure because I can't really speak for all of them, but the majority, like in general, CrossFit's a very randomized program from the outset. So for with what I try to do is I kind of try to blend a little bit of structure and then controlled chaos, so to speak. So every session I do the mobility warm up, foam rolling, all that. But instead of having to just do like a crazy workout like fan or something like that in the session, I try to focus on strength and conditioning. So one of the things that I personally have learned over the years as a trainer is that the more simple I keep things, the more effective they become. Because sometimes I feel like throwing too much at people will kind of throw them off, and they can't really master the basics. So what I like to do is, throughout the week, I always have like set days of which we're doing stuff. Monday and Wednesday is always the squat and deadlift day. Even though I say squat and deadlift, it could be a variation of it, so whatever the case may be. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays are more like a pressing day and then a skill day, so to speak. So I would always have to work on a linear progression in those exercises. And I'm always, making sure that they become a master of the simple barbell exercises. So that's usually like the bread and butter of our strength. So when it comes to the conditioning, though, we just kind of do stuff to kind of accent to supplement what we did that day. So say, for example, if we did squats in the strength conditioning, we probably involve something that would involve an upper body movement as well as unilateral movements. So something as simple as like 3 rounds of 15 push-ups, 20 lunges, just something simple like that. So in general, I like to keep things very simple in order to have people become a master of like the exercises. I'd rather have people focus on, simpler movements and become much very good at it as opposed to doing very complicated movements and having really crappy form when they're doing it. So
Yes.
I'm a big fan of that. In terms of the conditioning stuff, all within reason. I do like to do certain fun exercises when the spirit moves me. Like today, for example, because it's Christmas Eve, I had my guys come in, and they did something called the 12 Days of Chopmas. It's like Christmas, but CrossFit House of Pain, the acronym is CHOP. So we're like, okay, guys, we're doing the 12 Days of Chopmas. So I played nothing but funny Christmas music, and we kind of like broke down the workout just like the 12 Days of Christmas. So it's like one, two, three, four. It's like the first day of Christmas is one exercise. Then you do the second day of Christmas, and then go back to the first, so on and so forth. So
Oh,
some
no,
days
that's
I like to have fun with that, and the other days are just crazy stuff.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And I appreciate that. I appreciate your programming. That's I think that the criticisms of CrossFit in general, I think, is the randomness and an emphasis on speed and getting a high score on the board, as opposed to actually, learning competent movement patterns. So
Exactly.
I greatly support what you do there. I think that's great.
Oh, thank you very much. If there's a way we kind of like describe it here, it's in terms of them, CrossFit and the randomized movement, they like to go with the speed that they go and the way they do things. They're kind of like heavy met speed metal, hard hitting music, whatever it is. The way we do things here, it's more like jazz because we just try to flow around all nice.
Yeah, it's intelligent improvisation, man. I like that. That's
Yeah,
cool.
it's fun times.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, all right. So I mentioned this in the intro, and so I want to jump into this and discuss this a little bit. You're a big man.
That I am.
Yeah, and certainly your morphology is not what people would, on first glance, assume to be a trainer.
Yeah.
So, how does that work for you? How does that, what's, first of all, let's talk about just in general what that's been like growing up in the world and coming up in the world and being, I was a husky kid growing up. So, and I think you're a little younger than me, but when I was a kid, there was actually a size of jeans that we bought called Huskies, right? Essentially, it was fat boy jeans, right? So I grew up with my own sense of the stigma of being, rounder than my contemporaries. Now, I was also bigger and stronger, but that thing didn't carry as much weight, about no pun intended,
Of course.
as being kind of round. So, how's that been for you?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, it hasn't been easy.
Yeah.
Growing up, I've always been the big kid. There's been no disputing that. And it's still the way I was brought up. Parents from that didn't really know much about nutrition, whatever. It hasn't been the greatest childhood in the world because, like, you grow up, always getting picked on by other kids, and you always feel crappy about yourself. I think like the biggest thing that's been an issue for me ever since I was younger is the whole fact of not feeling good enough. You have like an inferiority complex, you know what I mean?
Oh,
Being
yeah.
raised as a big kid. No matter how much you change in life, there's always that little piece of you that really sets you back from really reaching your full potential. So that's why like sometimes like it even happens to me nowadays. I know the word fat does, it's not supposed to be derogatory or something or anything like that, but as a big person, you can't help but feel that because with that one word, so many negative emotions come into play. So I'm always dealing with stuff like that. And it's not fun. But, I haven't really worked out when I was a kid. It wasn't until I believe about high school when I actually started getting involved with training and whatnot. And even then it was a I don't even know how to put it. It was an experience. just because of the fact that, I was trying to look for all the ways that I could lose weight and stuff like that. But at the same time, my views on how I look was very warped. So I have these crazy thoughts on how I should be looking. And I never felt happy with myself. I never really embraced my body image. So you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And well, it's really – what's that?
Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, so, growing up, it's always been viewing myself as someone who's never good enough, someone who can't quite cut it in life, so to speak. And it's spilled up, and it was something that spilled over into other areas of my life, not just body image, but when it comes to school, trying to graduate, even sometimes running the gym over here. There's still those moments in my life where I feel like I don't think I can do this. And I always feel like I'm an underdog. Like I feel like I get looked down upon by other people, even other strength coaches. And sometimes, I'm like, pardon my French, but these sons of bitches, I'll show them one day. Mm-hmm. And so that's how like my past has kind of affected me now. But, just like everything else in life, it's been something that's still a work in progress. It's not something I've completely gotten over yet, but it's something that I've now learned to embrace a little bit more than before. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm trying to stay this way forever. It's still in like a transitional phase, but I've learned to embrace who I am and really like the place I'm at right now. Sorry, that was like a whole big ramble.
No. That was, I relate entirely. I mean, I didn't come into the fitness game until, about 8 or 9 years ago. And, my background was, stoner kid, really. And so I was this soft little, not little, I've always been big, but, this soft, pudgy stoner kid. And, I was active in my neighborhood as a kid, but then, after my parents divorced, I started eating a lot and, moved into this more intellectual setting. And so being physical was not something that was really supported. And so, it just, once you establish that body image, especially as a kid, as being, a bigger or as being fat, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard to get rid of. Really, really hard to get rid of.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And it's something that you carry with you for a long time. Tell me about, you mentioned your family and nutrition. I'm curious, and I'm making an assumption here, so you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong.
For sure.
Abu Zaid, you've got a Middle Eastern background, is that right?
I'm actually mixed. So
okay.
My dad's Egyptian and my mom's Filipino.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
See, and that sort of from seeing you, there was kind of a quality about your morphology that made me think, Samoan or Pacific Islander, and so there's genetics that come into play. I mean, your body morphology is of that, larger Pacific Islander frame that carries a higher percentage of body fat I wish that I could accompany this with, with some actual footage or something, because just the way that you move is really impressive. I mean, part of it I think is more impressive because of your size, but watching you pop up into that handstand where I was watching guys half your size struggle, and you're a power lifter, right? You said you got a powerlifting meet coming up?
Yeah, I just started powerlifting back in August, so I had my first competition then. So
nice.
It's a fun experience.
yeah, absolutely. So, you're strong, but you're also agile, and, for God's sake, you're a CrossFit coach, and that in itself speaks of, really intense Metcons, and so your capability is not represented by what you look like in first glance. And mm-hmm. I think I think that's one of the reasons that I personally was drawn to you, is that there was something so much more beyond just the surface of what you represent. Did your mom make the traditional Filipino breakfast of fried eggs and rice and peppers and stuff?
No, not really. She was a nurse, so she was always busy working because she had two jobs. So if she wasn't at one job, she was always at another. We were usually left to our own devices as kids for the most part. But, however, my parents would always have food for us in the house. And by food, I mean, like, this is actually a funny story. For a period of time, my mom actually, when she was actually going to be away for a while. So all she did was buy a whole bunch of, like the Pizza Hut pizzas.
Yeah.
She bought like 20 bucks of it. And then in our garage, we used to have a freezer there. So she put all the Pizza Hut pizza boxes in the freezer, and he says, "Okay, guys, whenever you're hungry, just go ahead, take the pizza out of the freezer, and then just heat it up." And we're like, "Okay."
Wow.
So it was a lot of the stuff was more for convenience. I mean, even though, we'll have time. Like when it comes to the food and stuff like that, it's not the greatest thing in the world. However, like she did make us do things that at least kept us a little bit healthy. Like sit us down and watch us drink like a ginger tea, like she put a ginger inside and made us drink it. That was the healthiest we ever really were during our days. But other than that, we all had there was like a lot of celebrations that had a lot of food had emotional ties to it when we were younger. Like, the occasional the weekly visit to the buffet or whatever that is, or always using that as a celebration, or even the traditional Filipino food. So it was always running rampant during our childhood, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's, I think that's the high cost of modern living. It's, we as a society set a standard that that you're supposed to attain, and by that standard I mean kind of a socioeconomic standard. You're supposed to live at a particular level. And so we make all these sacrifices in these other areas of our lives in order to maintain that standard. And so, with your mom working two jobs, and that's, food preparation takes time. And
exactly.
And healthy food preparation takes even more time. So I can understand that. And that that desire for convenience, it has a cost.
Yeah,
so,
most definitely. Well, at least the good thing is that nowadays, since it's becoming more aware to for healthy eating and stuff like that, the new generation of parents that are coming through, they're more conscious of what to give their kids. At least in my opinion, just because of the fact that we have such a high obesity rate here in the country, that now it's been put on notice. So now parents are taking more active steps to try to make their kids eat healthier and then be more active. So, I mean, at least that's the good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, it's a pendulum swing that's heading now and the other direction. We're seeing the cost of that convenience. So you got a powerlifting meet coming up in January, right?
Yep. I actually, One of the coaches at the Underground Strength Gym, his name's Riz. He actually told me about the powerlifting competition. I was like, you know what? I don't really have a dedicated powerlifting program, but I'm gonna do it anyway, just because of the fact that other people are doing it. I was like, you know what? This seems like a challenge. Let me go see if I can do this. I'm not doing a powerlifting program. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing more strength and conditioning. But I always like to challenge myself with random things every now and then, whether it's a mud run or a CrossFit event or even powerlifting. So I always like to see where I could take my body sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Tell us about your first event. I've actually never competed in that level. or done. I mean, my programming is like yours. It's, in fact, it's very similar to yours, but it's strength and conditioning based. And for me at this point anyway, strength is more about ability, and it's more about just, you know, I want to be, my biggest goal is to be that 70-year-old dude in the gym. You know, I'm that old guy over in the corner, in the squat rack that nobody else is using.
Yeah, you want to be the one that when they look at you, it's like, oh, he's got that dad strength going on.
That's right.
Yeah, there it is.
Old man strength down here.
You'll be the one ripping phone books in the corner of the gym when you're 70.
My fondest dream. But tell us a little bit about that first competition and how that went for you.
The first competition, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little scared to do it the first time, but you know, it's just like, you know, competition jitters. It was it turned out to actually be really good. Well, probably maybe because of the fact that I got to wear a singlet over there. That was fantastic. Let's face it, anytime you put on a singlet, you put on like 20, 30 pounds to your lifts, which is even better. So, but the whole experience was actually pretty nice. Everybody was very friendly in the meet, and there's just something about that competition aspect and doing those three lifts where it's you feel like the adrenaline takes over and you could do a lot more than you think. And what started off being even though I started off being very nervous in the meet, turned out to be personally one of the best things I've ever done for myself, just because of the fact that it really does put you to the test in terms of just like pure strength. Whether you're training for strength and conditioning or you're training for powerlifting, whatever the case may be, it's just a really fun way to challenge yourself. You know, one of the many avenues. I think a lot of people in general only like to do certain things in their life to test their fitness. Like, you know, you'll have the people who do running races or just cross for the fence. And, you know, that's all well and good to do more endurance-based, but not many people like to do just like strong events like this to see how strong they are. And it's the atmosphere around those kind of events is just like something completely different than the usual mud run or whatever event it is, just because of the fact that it's like it takes you to another place. Like it brings up that like primal instinct when you lift the weights and you feel like you're Samson in the Bible. Like, only I had longer hair, I can actually say that. But what's that?
I said, watch your microphone. You're starting to fade out a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, sorry. Phone's going around. I got a little excited when I was talking about Samson. Apologies. But yeah, all in all, it was a very fun event, and just made me realize that I could do a lot more than I'm capable of. So that's why I'm like, I got kind of hooked on it.
Yeah, yeah. I a couple years ago started editing some interviews for Mike Westerdahl, and a lot of the interviews were with powerlifters, big name powerlifters in the game. And that's one of the things that struck me as I was going through these interviews was how humble these guys really are.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, and a lot of events, you know, it's, and especially at first blush, somebody's going to assume that, you know, a super strong powerlifter dude is going to be all about swagger and ego. And it's really not the case at all. And it's one of the things that I really like about this particular sport is that it breeds a real sense of humility and support for other athletes. They're always, you know, sharing techniques and trying to bring up everybody within the sport. And I think that's really cool.
Exactly. So, I could tell you why they're very humble after this first experience. It's because of the fact that the strength is not dictated by your body type. You know what I mean? When it comes to powerlifting.
Yeah.
Sure, you have the weight classes, and and that's all well and good. And there's people there that are really big, like, pardon my French, but brick shit houses. But that doesn't equate them being the strongest over there. So I think the reason why a lot of the people, the powerlifters, walk around with humility, and they're very humble and stuff. They don't really get too cocky about it, is because of the fact that they know that there's going to be someone at the meet that's like only 120 pounds that could deadlift more than they can, which is hilarious. It's funny. Yeah, I think there's no better sport for people than powerlifting, in my opinion, because you no one gets to judge at a powerlifting meet, because the only thing that matters is how strong you are. I know in a lot of CrossFit events that I go to, and believe me, I've been to quite a few CrossFit events, I get judged at a lot by my looks. And then, it's kind of thing where you get backhanded compliments. Like when I was at one recently in CrossFit OTG down in South Jersey, and one of the workouts required kipping pull-ups. Now, I can't bang out 50 million kipping pull-ups like a lot of the CrossFitters, but I could do enough. If it's like five or less, I could do them in a workout. And then people would see me move so well during the kipping pull-ups box jumps, and they'll say, "Oh wow, is this your first time doing CrossFit?" Blah, blah. And back of my mind, I'm like, "You go jump off a bridge, buddy. I'll kick you in the face." And then I'd say, "No, I've been doing this for a while." So it's you get judged a lot based on your body type in CrossFit events. In powerlifting, no one judges you on anything, and they just and like you said, they really do help you out with sharing techniques, tips, whatever that is. And they know that it's not about what you look like. It's about how strong you are. And that's the great thing about powerlifting, in my opinion.
I think that's the great thing about strength in general. Everybody who's following this program has heard me mention before the Mental Meatheads workshop that is coming up in January. One of the speakers is Chip Conrad, and I've got an interview coming up with him that's going to be forthcoming. But Chip is like, I don't want to exaggerate and say he's half my size, but he's almost half my size. I mean, he's, easily 165, 170 pounds. So, I've got a good 100 pounds on him. And on top of that, he's a vegetarian, and
Oh,
so
wow.
he's, he's really, I mean, he's just lean, but he's strong as hell, And as I think, I'm not going to say for absolute certain, but I'm pretty sure his deadlift is bigger than mine right now, and just watching, him move weights around, you're like. It's humbling to realize, and it's important to realize that what you look like has absolutely no context in what you can do.
Exactly.
We have, I think, because of, the media largely, movies and stuff like that we attribute, morphology and ability, and they're just, they're not linked at all. And so I think that's a very important thing for people who are moving beyond vanity-based exercise and training to realize is that ability and appearance are not necessarily linked, and you need to figure out which one's more important to you.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally 100% agree with that. When we talk about ability and the way you look, it's I think the reason why a lot of people place so much on how they look is just because that's how the is that is because that's how, what we're growing up knowing. You know what I mean? So when you see when you're growing up and you just have like just your classmates in school or something keep on saying like ew when they see someone that size walk around, or just like the stigma that comes along with like being a bigger person, so to speak, it's you get a lot of negative criticisms for that. However, once But like you said, that has no place on what you could do. For me personally, I'm at the healthiest that I've ever been in my life, to be quite honest. Because I've been, and I'll be honest with you, I've had a lot of ups and downs when it comes to morphology. I've been heavier than I was back when we met back in June, and I've also been a lot lighter. Like in terms of lighter, I mean like 200 pounds, and that was doing a lot of running. But even at both of those times, I was plagued with injuries, and I would always be hurt at some point. But nowadays, with the way that the training that I've been training and whatnot, just focusing on embracing myself, not really worrying so much about what I look like, just more what I could do. I'm at the healthiest I've ever been, the strongest I've ever been. I don't really get injured. Only if I do a heavy squat day, then, my legs don't feel the greatest in the world. But at the same point, learning how to embrace more, learning more how to focus on what you can do versus what you should like, has made me a healthier person, mentally and physically, because I'm no longer just stepping on a scale every week, and then letting my emotions be dictated by how much I weigh. Now my emotions are dictated by how much I could lift and what I could do in my life.
Amen to that. Yeah, absolutely. That's a beautiful sentiment, and one that I'm glad to hear you say, and one that I personally am trying to promote, amongst my clients and the work that I do. I spent way too much time trying to force myself into what I thought I was supposed to look like, and especially, I came up the worst possible way. I came up through traditional group fitness. I hesitate to even admit this, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. I'm actually certified to teach body pump.
Oh yes, that's fantastic. Hey, we share a similar backgrounds, because you know what? I also got certified through Well, there was body pump, and then they have the group classes, like BTS.
Yeah.
I got certified through Group Synergy.
Right on.
So we're in the same same boat, you and I, Dave.
Yeah, dude, that was my own personal hell, I have to tell you that. But I thought that was what I was supposed to do, in order to be successful in this industry. And luckily, I managed to bump around the edges and find other avenues to express myself much more healthily, I'll say, than how it started out. And so it's been part of my journey to let go of, that I'm supposed to have six-pack abs and maintain a certain appearance, and just really focusing on what do I want to do? What do I want to do? What are the skills and abilities that I want to have? And what do I need to do to get those? And,
what could be your best expression of fitness, so to speak?
Yeah, exactly. Or what Elliot Hulse calls the strongest version of yourself.
So, yes.
Yeah.
I remember that. I actually went to see him a couple weeks ago when he was in New York.
Oh, did you? Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. I bet that was a great event.
It was good. There's actually something he said, which kind of pertains to what we were talking about, which is thinking when we're talking about, feeling like we're supposed to fit in something or whatever that case is. I actually talked to him about this once during that seminar, and I asked him, we're going back to body image. If I'm just going off the tangent, just let me know. We were talking about, sometimes I feel inferior to other people, that inferiority complex as a person, just because of the fact that I feel like I'm not good enough to say hi to someone. Say for example, if I'm going to meet Zach Evanesh, I can't really go up to him because I feel like he's on another level than me. I can't talk to him sometimes I feel inferior around other strength coaches in general, just because I feel like, oh, they're at this place, whatever it is, and here I am. I don't feel like I'm on their level. And he actually said something that merely made a lot of sense to me. And for some reason, every time when he talks to me, I feel like I'm gonna freaking cry, and it really gets me. I don't understand why. And but you know, it's like it gets stuck up in my throat, but it's stuck in between my head and my eye, so it doesn't really come out, but I get choked up. And he said it's because of the fact that, and I think this is the sentiment a lot of big people have, it's because you grow up not feeling inferior, and he says you become like a masochist to that kind of emotion, always feeling that you're not, it's more of a feeling that you're not good enough. And with that, you kind of live in that realm for so long that you kind of become a masochist with it, because just when you're about to do something great, you always go back to that thought process that you once knew, or that you're still holding on to. So it's just more about letting go of that. And I thought that, wow, that really makes a lot of sense, Elliot Holtz. I did not realize that. Thank you
Yeah, it does.
for yeah.
You build a self identity, right? You identify as a certain thing, and you build that identity based on the feedback that you get from other people. And you're like, oh, I am this way. And there's a part of you that grows attached to that. And so when you start
Exactly.
making changes to break outside of that part of you that's attached to that identity goes, oh, whoa, hold on, man. Who are we going to be if we're not this, right?
Exactly.
So.
Come back to the safe side. I don't like you venturing out.
Well, again, I think one of the things that I appreciate particularly about you, Charles, is that your openness and your willingness to embrace that struggle. There's a lot of people out there who aren't there yet, who are not in a position where they can even talk about these things. And so that you can speaks volumes to your character and the development of your soul, really, man. So
Oh, thanks.
I applaud you wholeheartedly, and I'm very pleased that I got to speak with you today.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure speaking with you too, Dave. I really enjoyed our interview, and like I said, I love talking about this stuff. It's something that was not easy for me to do in the past, just because I found that to be a sign of weakness and then all that. But learning, going through my own personal struggles in life, you kind of learn that once you could share about your struggle, that means that someone else could benefit from it. And you don't, and it's all a story. It's just on a journey to becoming the, like Elliot Holt said, like you said, the strongest version of you. And when you could be someone that could let go of those kind of thoughts where like, oh, I don't want to share whatever. So when you could learn how to be open with who you are and your thoughts, then it just frees up, it unclutters your mind a little bit to say, you know what, now I'm not stressing out about over as much, and now I could just focus on the task at hand. Now, even though I'm still big guy, that doesn't mean I personally plan on staying like this, but I'm not I at the same time I'm not thinking about, oh, okay, I need to, cut. I'm not treating my life as a Biggest Loser challenge. You know what I mean? Now I'm focusing on, the journey. So where I'm not focusing on where I want to be more in terms of a certain body type. I'm thinking of what can I do to become stronger, or what can I do to make myself better. Anything that happens as a result of that, it's all well and good. But for now, it's just learning about how to enjoy the ride as opposed to stressing over the end results.
Yeah,
Yeah.
very, very nice. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So, Charles, if I'm up in the New Jersey area and I want to come train at CrossFit House of Pain, how do I do that? How do I find you?
You can always find it a couple ways. If you go to the CrossFit main site and you're looking for an affiliate in our area, you'll find us in the New Jersey area. Our website is www.crossfithouseofpain.com. Currently needs to be retooled. It'll be retooled in the new year, so it'll look nicer. But for now, that's where you could check out our usual stuff. But if you really want to see our updates and find more information, you can always go to our Facebook page. If you search for CrossFit House of Pain, you'll find our Facebook page, like it, and then you can see all the updates that we have. Then we can rock and roll.
Right on, man. Very cool. Well, Charles, it's Christmas Eve, man. I really appreciate you taking the time out today to talk with us. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, and keep killing it in the new year, my brother. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Oh, most definitely, sir. Thank you for having me, and you have a good holidays, Dave.
Thanks, you too.
All right, take care.